Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. The COVID-19 pandemic has put a strain on everyone, including hospitals and their workers. KRMG's Russell Mills spoke recently with Guy Sneed, the chief medical officer of the Hillcrest Medical System of Hospitals, about how they're coping with the strain.
You have been at the center of what has had to have been quite the maelstrom. I mean, because we're dealing with obviously with a massive healthcare crisis, and I think the biggest issue probably for folks in your industry, and you can absolutely slap me down if I'm wrong, is that there's so much unknown about the virus, how it responds, what it will do next. And that makes it really hard to plan, and it makes it really hard to explain all that to folks, that, you know, there's so much that we don't know that it's hard to say, here's what you should go do. Is that fair?
Hey, that's very fair. And I think, now being several weeks into this particular pandemic, if you will, or crisis, you know, we even this early on are beginning to understand some things about just the nature of the virus and how it affects patients and patient populations. And we're a lot better at that than we were, say, in March. And to that end, though, I think many of us, and you can see this from the top, clinical leaders in the government, all the way down to specialty societies, everyone is putting their best foot forward. But again, there's so much we don't know, and that's why, you know, information continues to change almost weekly. And I believe that, you know, 2 years from now, we'll be, you know, doing after-action reviews and trying to assess what we did very well and where we went, you know, maybe a little left of center. And I think it'll make us better, hopefully. Heaven forbid, if this something like this happens again in the future.
Well, and the other side, the business side, has got to be, because if there's anybody who does not like uncertainty, it's a business owner, you know, or an investor, and so you've got to balance all that with the healthcare situation. And we've got a lot of folks here in Oklahoma who think that we've basically gutted our economy for no good reason. But I also hear from a lot of folks who think we're maybe reopening too soon. And I don't expect you to take a position on all that. That would be putting you really on the spot. I don't want to do that. But I'm curious from your perspective how, you know, the healthcare system is looking at this, because on one hand, they're gearing up to handle something that could be terrible. And on the other hand, they've had to lay people off because they're, you know, dealing with the business impact of all of this.
Yeah, it's a great question with just a multitude of, you know, answers and, you know, things that we could address. You know, I would say that in general, at the beginning of all of this, say in March, which feels like a lifetime ago, right? But it's really not been that long ago. You know, the decision to say limit or stop elective surgeries. The impetus for that decision came about based on a guidance from, you know, experts, American College of Surgeons and others that said, hey, we may not have enough personal protective equipment. We need to get ready for the, you know, COVID-19 surge that we've seen in other parts of the world that is now beginning to impact the United States. And so we think you need to limit, you know, elective cases. And so, you know, the hospitals locally and in the state, you know, did the right thing and began to limit those types of procedures in order to focus on, you know, COVID. And we did have, you know, a surge. with COVID-19, specifically COVID-19 patients that became inpatients, needed to be hospitalized and treated because of the severity of their illness, and some were obviously very critical, and unfortunately some succumbed. Some of those actually succumbed to the virus, unfortunately, and so there was a time for several weeks where, you know, that was absolutely the right thing to do here locally and nationally, depending on where those trends were. I think, and I'll wind this up because I know you've got other questions, but my point is that, you know, that peak that we saw, or that we anticipated was going to get worse and continue to worsen into May, never really came here locally in Tulsa and the surrounding area. In fact, you know, we probably hit our peak, I would say, resource use of all things COVID, including hospital capacity and medications and ventilators, et cetera, and PPE, probably by the third week in April. Since that time, locally, and I can certainly speak for Hillcrest Healthcare System, what we've seen is a gradual overall decline in daily COVID positive inpatient numbers, and I think that if you spoke to any of our colleagues in the community, like St. John or St. Francis, they would say, in general, the same thing, that they've seen similar trends. And so, you know, as we have done, as of a couple of weeks ago, we began to reopen the elective surgery piece for Hillcrest Healthcare System. We did that iteratively, a few hospitals at a time, to ensure that, you know, we weren't adding a large burden on our personal protective equipment utilization piece, or taking up capacity in our hospitals that was going to be really needed for COVID patients. But to that end, you know we're several weeks into this now, and while we continue to see positive patients that are requiring hospitalization, the overall numbers of those have continued to decline. So you juxtapose that with what you're seeing at an Oklahoma State level from a testing standpoint, and there's been some volatility, but in general, you know, we continue to see, you know, new cases every day throughout the state. You know, the state has a really big initiative to try to get as many patients tested, or I'm sorry, people in the population tested as possible. And as of May, Oklahoma had a goal of exceeding 90,000 tests. And as of yesterday, they had tested 113,264 specimens, which is just amazing how the state and you know, private partners who are delivering clinical medicine have been able to really ramp up the testing piece. And in spite of the fact that we continue to see increasing numbers because we're testing more, the percent positivity rate, or the percentage of those patients that are tested, the number that is coming back positive continues to decrease. In fact, as of this week, it's less than 4% of every person tested actually returns with a positive COVID-19 test. And so those things are very reassuring. The other piece to that, I'll just one last time stress, is that even though our numbers, our overall numbers of COVID tests continue to increase, the positivity rate continues to decrease, and we are not seeing those increased numbers translate to increased inpatient or hospital admissions. Those are all very reassuring pieces of information.
Do you feel like the social distancing measures and, you know, shutting down businesses and stuff, do you think that was helpful? It seems like the timeline would sort of match up.
It would, and you know, anecdotally, I think it probably did. You know, unlike some states, and again, you just don't know. There's so many variables, but there's enough science behind the social distancing piece to give it a significant amount of credibility, particularly when you look at where you're seeing cohorts of people that actually turn up COVID positive, such as, you know, nursing homes or, you know, people that are in working situations where they work very close together for extended lengths of time, such as, you know, the packing plants, et cetera. And so, yes, I do give some credibility to the social distancing piece. And I think shutting down some of the economy the way we did was probably the right move.
So you mentioned that you slowly, incrementally reopened, making sure that you were, you know, staying stocked up on PPE and not sort of, right, you know, just opening everything willy-nilly at once.
Right.
So now people are asking, well, when can we do visitation? When can we come see our, you know, especially, I guess, folks who have COVID-19 patients? I guess that would be really tough. But other folks who just want to go visit grandma or dad or mom at the hospital, I read that the, I think it's the Integra system in Oklahoma City has like a patient advocate. So they're allowed one patient advocate. Do we know what Hillcrest is planning, or are you guys still in the works trying to figure that out?
Yeah, that's a great question and very timely. And you know, I don't know if you've referred to it recently, but Governor Stitt in his Open Up and Recover Safely plan, you know, it had three phases. And interestingly enough, in phase two, which began May the 15th, there's actually some specific language that addresses employee guidance around healthcare facilities and visitation. But it, you know, includes facilities such as hospitals, ambulatory surgery centers, outpatient diagnostic sites, and clinics. And while in general, you know, they continue to urge limiting visitors, but stated, you know, when you begin to consider loosening or adding the visitation piece back to your processes, you know, you want to look at a couple of things: prevalence and community spread, overall number of say, inpatients that are suspected or confirmed COVID positive. You probably want to look at resource constraints and capacities, et cetera, and then ultimately include, you know, your frontline clinical stakeholders, nurses, doctors, et cetera, so that you're making the right decision at the right time when you begin to bring visitors back. You know, I would say that even in Governor Stitt's document, you know, some of the high points that hits on are the things that not only we here at Hillcrest are considering, but I know that some of our other healthcare partners in the community are considering the same types of would say items. For example, when we do think the right time comes to allow visitors back in the hospital on a routine basis, it'll probably be one visitor per patient. And Governor Stitt's document talks about a patient representative or a support person. But basically, it's a person, you know, a family member or whomever that may be, to really help support that patient in the receipt of care. It's a very important. But one of the caveats to that, and we think they've got this right, is that the visitor should be the same throughout the admission. And so, you know, what that does hopefully or effectively is diminish the risk of transmissibility from the community because you have a multitude of different people visiting that patient. And so I would say when the hospitals here locally in the Tulsa area and surrounding area really begin to open up, you'll probably see something like that. You're also going to see, I think, and I believe all of our hospitals are already doing this to some degree, but you know, there will probably be a brief health healthcare screening, maybe a questionnaire, and you know, someone's going to possibly ask them about recent travel history, although that might not be as important anymore. But then questions regarding current symptoms, such as fever, cough, shortness of breath, or other symptoms. In addition to that, I would anticipate all those visitors will probably have their temperature checked. And so there's also going to be some kind of baseline screening requirements for visitors coming into the hospital, so that we're really, you know, we have good oversight on, you know, the safety of not only our patients and our, but our staff as well, regarding visitors that come in. And then, you know, the other thing that I would anticipate that we will see when visitation policies are enacted or loosened, I would anticipate the visitors will be required to wear a mask. And, you know, I know that locally, here in Hillcrest, if a visitor has a cloth mask, and you know, there are some kind of minor specifications, but if it meets those, then that would probably suffice. But if not, or if the visitors don't have a mask, I would anticipate that one would be provided for them, either a loop mask or a surgical tie mask, and that would be required to be worn at all times. And then, you know, finally, when the visitors are here in our facilities, you know, it would be encouraging and really overseeing proper, say, hand hygiene practices, and so just ensuring that we have adequate numbers of hand sanitizer stations and hand sanitizer supplies on hand and positioned throughout the hospitals. And I would anticipate that we are definitely planning on that. I would anticipate that our other partners in the community are going to do the same thing. The final thing that I think we should probably be prepared for when hospitals do allow some visitation to occur is I would anticipate many of the common areas will either remain closed or will have some stricter guidelines around number of visitors that may be in that area, and or some social distancing guidelines. They may take some chairs, you know, out of, say, a dining room or a waiting area, and then pre-position those chairs so that they're far enough away from you know, someone else, so that we can continue to observe proper social distancing. Those are some of the things that I anticipate we're going to see as we begin to open up visitation in the future.
So I looked at the governor's hours plan, the open up and recover safely plan, and it says that the facility eventually will make the determination, which that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it says you can have one adult patient representative, but it also says that there could be additional patient representatives possibly.
Sure.
What I thought I heard, though, what you were saying was that Hillcrest has not yet instituted that. Is that something that will happen, you think, with the beginning of phase three on Monday, or still kind of in the planning phases?
I would say that, you know, we are strongly considering it. And it's a possibility. There are, you know, multiple factors in play. We really want to be sure that we have the proper processes and safeguards in place so that we can accommodate visitors. We feel pretty confident about it. You know, the other issue for us is that you know, we work very closely with our company leaders and support. That's Arden Healthcare, and so it would just you know, it's going to be you know, imperative that we align and you know, have their blessing to move forward with the relaxing some of the current visitation policies.
Guy Sneed, Chief Medical Officer of the Hillcrest Medical System of Hospitals. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.